We begin the current daf about Metzia daf Lamed Gimel. We begin on the bottom line of Lamed Beis Med Beis, the last two words on the previous daf. And that is the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, discussing the halachic concept of tzar balechaim, pain to an animal that there's an obligation to alleviate, to take away that pain of the animal. Is that a deraisa? Is that a halacha from the Torah? Or is that only derabbanan? Is that something that is not halacha from the Torah? So Rava had said that from our Mishnah, from the opinions of the Tanakhama, the Rabbanan, and Reb Shimon, we could show that they hold Tzar Bel Chaim as Deiraisa. How so? Because both of them held, as was explained in the Braisa, that had it only said the mitzvah of Tina, I would most definitely know the halach of Prika. And that's why, according to Tanakhama, that's why it says also the halach of Prika, to tell you that that's going to be for free. And that's why we didn't learn it just from the halach of Tina, of loading up the animal. Or according to Reb Shimon, is because we wouldn't know clearly which one is the one that's a reference to Tina, to say that we would know Prika from a Kal Vachomer. We would say that the one pasuk that it'd be saying would be Prika. But both of them agree, if they would say clearly, and they would have the same halacha, Tina and Prika, I would know Kal Vachomer, if Tina, if loading up the animal, Yuchayv, for sure unloading. Which the Gemara had asked, why is that? On that, Rabbi said, because Prika, unloading the animal, has the additional element of Tzar Bel Chaim. To which the Gemara said, no, it's not necessarily the case. The Kal Vachomer could have been because of a chesaron kiss. The animal gets ruined when it's under the load. And that's why you have to unload it for sure if you have to help out your friend to load up the animal. But not because of the element of Tzar Bel Chaim. So the Gemara had continued on the whole Amud Beis, on the previous Naf, trying to explain, to see Rais, if Tzar Bel Chaim is the Rais or not. So our Gemara continues on that. That Toshima come in here, not like Rava. That Tzar Bel Chaim is not the Rais, it's not a halacha from the Torah. As we continue on top of Lama Gimel Med Alf, because it says in the Pasuk, there's a Pasuk in Shemais Perchav Gimel Pasuk He, which was the Pasuk that was being quoted in the previous Daf, which talks about the mitzvah of Prikav, unloading the animal, that it says, Kisira Chamurtsa Na'achav, you're going to see the donkey of your enemy, that's Reivitz Tachas Masai, that it's laying under the load. And you're going to hold back from helping him. No, Azir Tazir, you might help him unload his animal. Now, on that, there's a braisa that says as follows. It says Reivitz, that the animal is laying, which is in the present tense, which sounds like that it just happened to be laying now under its load. It was a one-time thing. However, Veloy Ravtsin. However, not an animal that habitually, that this animal always lays under its load, that is not included in the halacha of having to unload the animal. It's only Reivitz if it happens to be right now, and that just in this moment it happens to be under the burden and it can't help itself. But if it always gets laid, weighed down by the burden, then you don't have to help out. Another drush you see that from the words of Reivitz, that it's laying under it, is v'lo yoymit, not if it's standing up. It's only if it's weighed down by the burden, then you have to help unload it. Then when the pasuk says that it's Reivitz that's laying tachas masoi, under its burden, is v'loy mefurik, but not if it's unloaded. And that is, if you need to then load it up, that is not what the chiyuv of Azav Tazav Imay is. It's only that if it's under the load, and you have to unload it, but to load it up now, which Rashi says, the Gemara is later going to ask, but we have a pasuk in the Torah that says, hakim takim imay, that you do have to load up the animal. So what are we excluding to say that it's only when it's on it, under its load, to help unload, but not to load up, if there is a pasuk that says that you do have to help load up? Then another drasham tachas masai, under its load, is masai shayachal lamed boy. It means to say its load. What's its load? Every animal can carry amount that it could carry, which is called its load. But if you loaded it up more than it could carry, then that would not be mechuyiv in helping out such a person, because it's not its load, then it could be included in the chiyuv of tachas masai. It was too much, and that you're not mechuyiv in. Now the Gemara concludes the question on Rava. Now, the Amr Tzar Belechaim Deraisa, if you would think to say, like Rava says, that the halacha of alleviating the pain of an animal is min ha-tayram, so then, Mali Reivitz, what is the difference to me if it just happens to be laying under its burden right now? Umali Ravtsin, and what's the difference to me if it always lays under its burden? Umali Aymen, and what's the difference if it's standing under it and it's not laying under the burden? Either way, why would we say that these drashas to exclude these type of halachas to have to unload? But there's the element of Tzar Bel Chaim. So forget about helping him. Let's say him you don't have to help out, but you have to help out anyway because of the animal that's under the burden, because of the pain that it's going through. So why are we excluding from the Torah Ravtsin and Oymid if Tzar Bel Chaim is another halacha that's min ha-Torah that you would be obligated to unload? Obviously, you see, not like Rava, that Tzar Bel Chaim is not deraisa. So there's no element of in the halachas in the Torah of Tzar Bel Chaim. And there's also no halacha of unloading because it's not included in Tachas Masoi or Reivitz because it's Ravtsin or it's Oymid. And that's why your Pater. Nothing more says no. Because Hamani Rabbi Yosei Glilihi, as the Gemara had said on the previous Reis, on the previous Daf, that Rava was saying his halacha in Reb Shimon and the Rabbanan. as that's where he started saying his halacha, and then he proved it from them. However, this b'raisa is going like Rabbi Yosef Glili, the Amra that he says, and even Rava agrees that Tzar Bel Chaim Drabanan. Yes, his opinion we know is already quoted in our Mishnah, as we had already explained on the previous daf, that he holds Tzar Bel Chaim as only rabbinic, not manatara. However, that's not a question on me, Rava would say, because I'm saying Tzar Bel Chaim Deraisa in the other Tanoim's opinions that are arguing them in the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, Hachinam is Tabir. It actually makes sense to say that this b'raisa is going like Rabbi Yosef Glili, and that's why, yes, this b'raisa holds Tzar Bel Chaim is Drabanan, but the other Tanaim would not hold like that necessarily, because the Tani would learn in the b'raisa, it says, Tachas Masle. The last drasha that was quoted was, it has to be under its load, which is Masle Sheyochalam, but it has to be a load that it can usually withstand, but if it was too much, then you're exempt. Now, Man Shamet Lei De Islei Haisvara, who did we hear that says this logic, this halacha, of it has to be under a load that it could handle? That's Rabbi Yosef Glili. He's quoted as saying this halacha in our Mishnah. So Shema Mina, it's Rabbi Yosef Glili, and that's why it's not difficult according to Rava, because yes, everyone agrees, Rabbi Yosef Glili holds that Tzar Bel Chaim is only Rabbanan, he was going in the other Tanoi. Now the Gemara asks, on this answer, could you really say that the Tana of this Braisa that we just quoted, in the way of answering for Rava, is like Rabbi Yosef Glili, and that's why this Tana holds that Tzar Bel Chaim is only Drabanan? But Vaktani Sefer, we learned at the end of that Braisa, it says, Tachas Masoi, it says one of the drushas of Tachas Masoi, underneath its load, it's Vilei Mephorik, but not if it's unloaded already. In other words, if it's on its load, then the mitzvah is to help him to unload, but not if it's unloaded, to load it up. Now the Gemara asks, My Lei Mephorik, what does it mean, however, that you're not responsible to help him out if it's unloaded? Now, if you say that you don't have to help him at all when it's unloaded, but Haksiv, and that we had already mentioned, alluded to this question, says in the Pasuk of Hakim Takim Imoy, you have to help him load up his animal. So that can't be an exclusion in the halacha of that when it's only if it's under its load, that then you have to help unload it, but if it's unloaded, you don't have a mitzvah to help him go put it back up, because that's another Pasuk in the Torah that says you do have to help him. Elabshita, rather, it would be obvious. Now, what do we mean to say that, however, the mitzvah is not when it's unloaded, is lo mefurik bechinam. It means that you wouldn't have to help him when he's unloaded to do it for free. Ela b'schar, because the mitzvah hakim tokim imoy is a mitzvah, yes, as it says in the Torah, but it's a mitzvah that you can charge for. Whereas the mitzvah unloading has to be done with for free. So when it says that it's only if it's under its load that you have to help, but not when it's unloaded, it means regarding doing things for free. Now, Mad Shamet Lei De'islei Haisvara, who do we know that says this Svara, that differentiates, that makes a difference between the halacha of Parika and Te'ina, that Parika has to be done for free and Te'ina you could charge? That's Rabbanan of our Mishnah, who argue under Rabbi Yosef Glili, there are three opinions in our Mishnah. There's the Tana Kama, Reb Shimon, and there's Rabbi Yosef Glili. Now, who says this difference between Parika and Te'ina? Not Rabbi Yosef Glili. He's not quoted as saying that in our Mishnah. It's the Rabbanan. And yet, still we see that Tzar Bel Chaim is not Deraisa, as that's the halacha that's being quoted in this Braisa, because it says we're excluding Ravtsin, we're excluding that if it's Oymid. But if you held Tzar Bel Chaim is Deraisa, then you would have to unload it because of the animal. And yet, still the Tana of this Braisa, who's not Rabbi Yosef Glili, because it's the Rabbanan who say this difference between Schar and Bechinam regarding Parika and Te'ina. And yet still we're seeing that Tzar Bel Chaim is not Deraisa. That's a question like Rava, who said Tzar Bel Chaim is Deraisa in the opinions of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon. I think the Gemara says, No, the Tana of the Braisa is Rabbi Yosef Glili, as we had said, because look, he's the one that says this drush of Tachas Masoi has to be Masoi Sheyochel Lamed, has to be that you could usually carry, and that we know Rabbi Yosef Glili is quoted as saying in the Mishnah. However, what the Gemara had assumed was that when they were saying it's Drabanan, is that there's two different halachas that are mentioned in the Mishnah. And that is, there's the halachas that the Tanakam and Reb Shimon speak about, which is regarding if there's a difference in charging or not in the halacha of loading up an animal. And then basically he said a different halacha. He said that this mitzvah of having to unload the animal is only if it's a load that it could have handled, that it's a load that it normally should be holding, but if it was too much, then you're going to be pater. Now, when they're saying different opinions in the Mishnah, obviously is that one is arguing on the other, because then it wouldn't be just saying that Tana says that. So therefore it sounds like that they're both arguing on each other's halachas. As we had quoted on the previous daf, it seems that the Tana Kam and Reb Shimon arguing basically on the halacha of Tachas Masoi, that they hold that you would be obligated in helping out the person even if the load is too much that it usually can handle. And therefore the Gemara had assumed over here that yes, the same thing would apply there. Basically he argues on their halacha, and that he does not differentiate between Bechinam and Bischar regarding regarding loading up the animal, that there you wouldn't be able to charge, because it's only the Tanna Kamma that says that, and not a Bisa Glili. And then the Gemara says that, no, it's really a Bisa Glili. Ubitina Savala Krabbanan, regarding loading up the animal, that he does agree to that halacha, that there is a difference and that one could charge. And that's why the Tanna of this Brisa could be a Bisa Glili, because, yes, Tachas Masri. Now, we're not concerned about Tzar Balachayim if, it, let's say, it's the load that you shouldn't have loaded it up, even though now it's in pain, is not the Raisa. That's like Rabbi Yosef Lili says, as we had quoted in the Mishnah. Now, although it sounds like that it's like the opinion of the Rabbanan, because what are we saying, Tachas Masse B'lei Mefurik, but not if it's unloaded, that you don't have to help load it up, but of course you have to. Must mean you don't have to load it up for free, but you could charge. That Rabbi Yosef Lili doesn't argue on the Tanna Kamma in regards to that. And that's because Rabbi Shimon and the Tanna Kamma are both opinions anyways. He would have to hold like one of them. So that is what the Gemara is answering, that it is Rabbi Yosef Lili, and he doesn't argue on them, but rather they argue on him regarding his halacha of Tachas Masa, and they hold that, no, even if it's too much to load, still you would have a responsibility for any load to help unload the animal. And again, therefore, there was not a contradiction to Rava's opinion. We don't see clearly that the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Shimon disagree on Rava's concept to say Tzar B'Chaim is lav deraisa. It could be like Rava, that Tzar B'Chaim is deraisa. So the Gemara continues explaining these halachas of the pasuk that we had quoted before of the mitzvah of azib tazib imay, helping to unload an animal. Tarnabon, we learn the braisa. It says in the pasuk, kisira, that when you will see. Now, as we said, the pasuk talks about all these different terms of the donkey of your enemy that's laying under its load, and you should surely help him out. So it says, the way the pasuk starts out is kisira, that when you're going to see. Now, yachla filim irachik, you would think even it's very far away, but if you can see, then you have to go ahead and walk all the way to where he is to help him unload the animal. So Tamalayma, that's why it says a pasuk in Shemais that says kisifka, that when you will encounter, that tells you that no, you know, if even if you see, but it has to be that you come up to him, and then you, when you're right next to him, then you have to help unload him. Now, that the question is, Ikisifka, had it only said the pasuk in Shemais, which says that when you bump into him, when you encounter him, Yochel Pegiyah Mamash, you would think you actually have to encounter, you have to actually bump into him, not literally, but you have to come right next to him to then have to have the chiyav of all under the animal, and not any further away. Tam Alayma, that's what the pasuk comes to teach you in the pasuk right before, which is talking about actually the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, which says, Kisifka, it says that when you'll encounter, it says in Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Dal, the pasuk before the pasuk that we were discussing, it says, Kisifka Shor Oyivcha, if you're going to encounter the ox of your enemy, Oychamor, or his donkey, Toya, that's lost, Hashav Tishavenela, you should return it to him. So therefore, the pasuk before tells us this halacha of helping out is when you encounter. And therefore, it's not even if it's very far away that you see. You don't have to go ahead and help unload the animal. Now, Iki Sifka, had it only said the term of when you encounter, Yochabegiyah Mamash, I would think that it's only if you actually bump into him, you actually come right up to him, then you have to help him out. Tamalemi Kisira, that's why the next pasuk, our pasuk, by talking about unloading the animal, says that when you'll see. So how do you understand it? Is it when you encounter or is it when you see? So now the Gemara explains, Ve'ezahi Re'iyah Shiesh Be'Pegiyah, what is considered seeing, but that it's considered encountering. In other words, you don't have to actually come right up, because that's what it says seeing. Seeing means it's to a distance. But it also doesn't only say seeing, which would sound like even who knows how far that you could see. So what is this middle ground that it's seeing, but that you're still there, you came close enough? That Shir Chacham, the Chacham had estimated that to be Echad Misheva Umechze B'mil, which literally means 1 of 7.5 of a mil, which is 2/15 of a mil. Vizehu ris, and that is what the measurement of what's called a ris. A ris is actually that amount of 2/15 of a mil, which is approximately like 400 feet away. So you're not that far away, but you're not right there. That is considered a re'iyah, a pegiyah, that sheyesh b're'iyah, re'iyah sheyesh b'pegiyah. You're right there. That is something that would be considered. Then you have to go ahead and help him out. And now the Gemara concludes with the halacha relating to the halachas of te'ina, of loading up an animal. Tana, we learned in our braisa, that umadadi imoy, that after you loaded up an animal, you walk along with the person with his animal, ad parsa, up until a distance of a parsa, and that's because we're concerned that maybe it might end up falling off again. So you want to continue a parsa, which is approximately around 2.25 miles, to walk along to make sure this that you load up the animal will stay there. That the Gemara concludes on Rabbi Babachan of a neutral schar, and that you could get paid for that distance that you're walking, for the 2.25 miles, for that of helping along, make sure it continues, a person could get paid for. And now the Gemara continues with the final mission of this parak, which again continues on the theme of this parak, the parak of Eil Metzias, which discusses Avedis, lost objects, But then the shaila that this Mishnah discusses is regarding whose aveda comes first. And that is, if let's say there's a few lost objects that the person has to return, what is the order of return? So now the Mishnah begins, avedasev avedas aviv. If there's his own lost object and his father's lost object, let's say he lost something and then he finds it and he finds his father's thing, whose does he return first? And that the Mishnah says, avedasev kedemes, his own lost object comes first before his father's. Similarly, avedasev avedas rabbi, if there's his own lost object and his teacher's lost object, shaloi kedem, again, his comes first. Now, avedas aviv avedas rabbi, if there's his lost object and his teacher's lost object, and that, the Mishnah tells us, shall rabbi kedemis, that his teacher's lost object comes first. And the Mishnah is going to talk about three different cases which say this same principle, that the Rebbe, the teacher, comes first before the father. And the reason is, sh'aviv hevi eloil mazeh, his father brings him into this world, v'rabbi shalom nechachma, however his teacher that teaches him the wisdom of Torah, mevi l'chayir el-mabah, brings him to the life of the world to come. And therefore his Rebbe gets precedence. However, if his father is a Torah sage, shall aviv kedemes, then his father's aveda comes first. Second application of this halacha, hayaviv v'rabbi noisin maso, if his father and his rebbe were carrying loads, menecha shel rabbi, he first helps his teacher unload his load, v'achkech menecha shel aviv, and then he helps unload the load of his father. So the third application of this is, hayaviv v'rabbi bebeis hashvi, if his father and his teacher were in captivity, or taken capture, Paydes Rabbi, he first redeems his teacher, ba'achkach paydes av, and then he redeems his father. However, if his father was a Torah sage, paydes av, he first redeems his father, ba'achkach paydes Rabbi, and then he redeems his teacher. So now the Gemara asks, on the first application of this halacha of the hierarchy, in the order of the Vedas, we said the first one is your own aveda, your own lost object. The Gemara asks, menahan emili, from where do we know that the person's own lost object comes before everybody else? So that Amr Yehuda Merav, Amar Krat, says the pasuk in Sefer Devarim, says, Ephes, however, kiloyeh b'cha evyon. Now, there won't be any poor amongst you. Now, this pasuk literally is translated as, in regards to that, if the Yidden, the Jews, keep the Torah, they're going to get all the blessings, and one thing is going to be, there's not going to be any more poor people. However, the drasha of it is that, make sure, it's like almost a mitzvah, that loyeh b'cha evyon, that you shouldn't be in you, in b'cha, shouldn't be any poor people, which means, shalcha kodem shalakal adam. Yours is before everyone else's. In other words, make sure you don't become poor. That's Ephes. Just make sure, you shouldn't be poor, and therefore you first take care of your own objects, and then you can take care of other people. And that's why, if there's your lost object and someone else's, it's Avedasai Kaidemis, his own lost object is first. However, the Gemara does tell us, the Ba'amar Yehuda Merav, Kol HaMekayim Ba'atzmei Kach, whoever does fulfill this halacha in himself, and that is, although it's not incumbent, he's not obligated from the Torah to go ahead and return someone else's before his own. You have to take care of your own first. However, as Rashi tells us, as we had learned in the previous daf, you should go and enter what's called the Fnim Mishur Sadin. Go beyond the letter of the law. And not say, Shali Kaidim, that mine comes first. I have to take care of myself first before I can help other people. Unless, as Rashi says, if it's a major, obvious loss, then you take care of your own. Because if you're always particular to say, look, I got to take care of my own needs, I have to feed my own children, I have to take care of my own things, then you're going to be unloading from yourself the responsibility of Gemilas Chasodim and Staka, and therefore essentially what's going to happen is Seif Bola Dekach, you're going to be coming to the same poverty that you're trying to avoid, and you're going to have to come out to other people. So the Gemilas Chasodim that you're not doing, you're going to have to come out to other people. So therefore, although the letter of the law is yes, you have to take care of your own first, but don't customarily and habitually do that, because you really want to go ahead and continue in Gemilas Chasadim at Staka and go lift the Mishra Sadin. Another Gemara continues quoting from our mission that says, Hayaviv v'rabbi noisin masay b'chula. So if his father and his Rebbe were both carrying loads, or if they were in the Beis HaShavi, they were in captivity, the Rebbe comes first. So it's time to learn the Braisa. Three way machlokes regarding Rabbi She'amr, regarding his Rebbe that we said it comes before his father. What is the definition of a Rebbe, of a teacher, that he takes precedence? So the first opinion mentioned in the Brice is Rabbi Shalom de Chachma. It's a reference to the teacher that taught him wisdom. Now, what does that mean? So Rashi explains it means the reasoning, the logic of the reasons of the Mishnah, and to understand why the Mishnahs do not contradict each other. And the understanding of the reasons of what is permitted, what is forbidden, what is obligated, what is exempt. And that is what we customarily call Gemara. That's the one that is called his Rebbe. V'loy Rabbi Shalom de Mikra, it doesn't refer to the teacher that taught him Mikra, which means Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, U'Mishnah, and there's also not a reference to the one who taught him Mishnayis, as they were taught, in other words, without the reasonings and the understandings behind him, which that's already called Gemara, Div Remeya, that's the opinion of Remeya. Behudaimer, the second opinion that the Brisa quotes is, Kol Sharev Chachmasei Menu. Any teacher that most of your wisdom is from him, which means if you only learned Chumash, or you only learned Mishnayis, or if you learned Gemara, whichever it is that you know, but if he's the one that taught you the majority of your wisdom, he's called your Rebbe. Finally, Rabbi Yisrael, he says, even if this individual did not enlighten you, in other words, he didn't explain to you, but the understanding of the reasoning of Ela B'Mishnah Achas, of even just one Mishnah that you weren't able to understand with Adam, Zehu Rabbi, he is called your Rabbi. As the Gemara says that I'm a Rava, Kugain Rav Schaira. That would be an explanation of like Rav Schaira, the Asbern that he explained to us this one halacha, and we already call him Rabbi, that Zuha Malisterin, that regarding the spoon that takes off the froth. And that is, that comes to the top, is this Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, this halacha was taught. And he said that I didn't know what kli this was. And Rav Schaira had taught me that it's a large spoon, that you take off the froth that comes to the top of the pot. You take that off with this spoon. That was the term that was being referenced in that Mishnah. He taught us this that we would not have known. That is already a definition, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yisi, of someone being called a rabbi. Similarly, it says, Shmuel Karamane, Shmuel would tear his garment, that is a type of a tear that cannot be fixed, like is the halacha that what a Talmud has to, when the student has to tear for the death of his Rebbe, that this is what Shmuel did, Aleahum Rabbanan, on this one of the Rabbanan, that when he had passed away, he raised Kriya, he tore a tear that only a student does for a Rebbe, the Asbe that explained to him, and this, what he explained to him is the Mishnah Masechtas Tamid in Paragimel Mishnah Vav, regarding those that come in the morning to open up the doors of the Heichel of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the ones that are coming in, they come in, as it says over there, with two keys. Echad Yerid La'ames HaShechi, one of the keys, when you have to open up that door, it reaches all the way to the armpit. And now, as the Mishnah over there explains, that one of these two locks, the way you open up is this small little doorway that was in the northern part of the Beis HaMikdash, which is by the opening of the Heichel in the northeastern part, as the Mishnah over there explains. And then that one door had to be opened in a way that from the inside, so the way you had to get it is by sticking your hand all the way in and going in. So that's what it means, that one would go all the way to the armpit. To get in, you had to stick it all the way to your armpit. V'echad peseach kivun. And one of them went directly in, and that is once you got in through the first door, which needed that manipulation of getting your hand all the way in to do it from the inside, so therefore your armpit was inside, then the next door was something that would open up directly, and therefore that was the two different keys that we didn't understand what that was. And he explained to us these two keys and how they opened. That was again a similar concept of that's why Shmuel tore Kriya, when this Talmud Chacham had passed away, although he taught him one halacha, he considered him a Rebbe already to write Kriya, again, like the explanation of Rebbe Yesi. So Amar Ula, Ula explains, relating to this, that Talmidei Chacham Shebabavel, the Talmudic scholars in Bavel, they would each stand up for each other. In other words, although they were like chavruses and they were all sitting in the same yeshiva, they would stand up for each other the way a Talmud, a student, does for a Rebbe. And the reason is, since they always sat together in learning in the Beis Medrash, and someone would ask a question, another one would answer, and therefore they would all be learning one from the other, hence like a Rebbe to a Talmud, therefore they would stand up for each other. And they would also tear Kriya. When someone passes away, you have to tear, which is what's done for a relative, and that's what's done for a student or a Rebbe. They would do that. However, in Yaveda, regarding a lost object, b'makim aviv einen chayzrin, if their father had lost something, and this other chavruso, someone that learned in Beis Medrash, also lost, they wouldn't return it. El Rabbi Mubik, for that halacha, to make the Rebbe come before the father, that was only by his established Rebbe, which is as we explained according to Rebbe Yehuda, which was Rav Chachmasa Himenu, the Rebbe that taught him most of his learning, only that one is the Rebbe that they would go and do before the father. But for other halachas, like standing up and tearing, they would do it even like Rebbe Yisi's halacha of just learning one Mishnah, one halacha from him. So the Gemara says, Kabayi minei Rav Chizda Mrafuna, Rav Chizda asked from Mrafuna, Talmud v'tzarech le'rabbi, regarding a student, that his Rebbe needs him. Now, why would a Rebbe need a student? Because that student had heard other halachic statements from other Talmidei Chacham, and this Rebbe always wanted to hear from that student, what did that Talmud Chacham say? My, what's the halach over there? In other words, this that we said that the Rebbe comes first before the father regarding a lost object, would the same thing apply to such a Rebbe? Maybe this Rebbe is not like such a Rebbe to him because you see the Rebbe even needs him. So maybe that's not like a Rebbe that would come before his father. So this is what Rav Chisda asked Rav Huna. So Amaleis, Rav Huna responded to him, Chisda. I don't need you. In other words, he thought that Rav Chisda was referring to himself, that, you know, you need me for the different halachas. Maybe you don't come before my father. He says, no, you need me for 40 years. And that is generally the halachas. A person is not oimer al das rabbi until 40 years. He was trying to tell him, you need me. So ikpidi adodi, they were particular about each other. They were upset, and each one didn't go to the other. So the Gemara comments that Yasser Rav Chisda Arben Tanisa, Rav Chisda sat 40 fasts. Shem the Cholish Daiter Rav Huna, because he had hurt Rav Huna, that Rav Huna had thought that he meant that he was the one that didn't need Rav Huna so much. And Yasser Rav Huna Arben Tanisa, Rav Huna himself sat 40 fasts. Shem the Chazda Rav Chisda, because he had suspected Rav Chisda that as if Rav Chisda was referring to himself, which might not necessarily have been the case. So Itmar, we learned, Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef Amar B'Yechanan, Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda. B'Yechanan says regarding this three-way machlekes, regarding who is the Rebbe that takes precedence before the father, is like Rabbi Yehuda, that Rav Chachmasa, whoever he learned the majority of his teachings from, that's the Rebbe that we're referring to. However, Rav Acha bar Rav Huna Amar Rav Sheshes, he says Halacha K'Rabbi Yosi, even if you learn one halacha from him, he's already considered your Rebbe, and he comes before a person's father. Now that the Gemara asks, "Umi am Rabbi Yechanan hachi? Did Rabbi Yechanan, the first halacha that we said, did he really say this? That halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that it's Reiv Chachmasa, the one that the majority of your learning is from? But v'am Rabbi Yechanan, but Rabbi Yechanan said, which is a statement that's mentioned many times throughout Shas, a halacha kistam mishnah. Halacha is like an anonymous mishnah, and that is as we're going to explain. Amud Beis Rashi quotes that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, when he made an anonymous mishnah, he was trying to say that the halacha follows like that mishnah." And we learned in our Mishnah, which is anonymous, it says, Rabbi Shalom de Chachma. It says that it's Rebbe that teaches him Chachma, which is that our Stam Mishnah is like Remeir. That what does Lamdei Chachma mean? As the term that Remeir himself had used, which as we explained in Rashi, means Gemara. And that is the one who is considered Rebbe, not Rav Chachmasa like Rabbi Yehuda. So how could Rabbi Yechanan have said the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda when he himself said the halacha is like a Stam Mishnah? And our Mishnah used the term Rabbi Shalom de Chachma. That the Gemara answers, my Chachma, Rabbi Yechim would tell you that what does it mean when it says, Rabbi Shalom the Chachma, it means Rav Chachma, the majority of his wisdom, and that could be even Mishnah or Chumash. It doesn't necessarily mean just Gemara, and that's what the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So related to this, the Gemara brings the following price. So turn on Banan, Ha'iskin ben Mikra, that person that learns Chumash, Mida, it's a measurement, in other words, it's something, but Ve'ena Mida, it's not such a great measurement. And the reason is because Mishnayis and Gemara is better than learning Chumash, because Mishnayis and Gemara, it depends on the person's continuously learning, because these are things that are forgotten. And that is, as Rashi explains, in the times of the Mishnayis, these Gemaras were not written down, and they themselves were not allowed to write it down. And the only reason was is because later on the generations that they weren't able to continuously recall all their learning. So therefore there was a Hirasha that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi wrote down the Mishnayis and then later the Gemara was written down. But however, in the times of this Brisa, when it was quoted, is that Chumash wasn't as preferable as Mishnayis and Gemara because you just would be able to read inside. You didn't have to maintain it and work hard, which was the lasik b'divrei Sayra. B'mishnah midah, learning Mishnayis is a measurement, and v'noitin le'eschar, and you take reward. However, Gemara, and as Rashi says, has explained before, which is, that's something that you have to really get into it to understand the hidden understandings and meanings of the Mishnah, what they are, and when you have two Mishnayos to contradict each other, to understand how to resolve those two Mishnayos, that they should both be valid, or to understand which is that Tana that says that opinion, which contradicts the other opinion, which is a different Tana, and to say that which Tana that actually is, that type of learning of Gemara, there is no greater measurement of learning as Gemara. Now, that explains why we had said regarding this machlekes that Remeir says that what is a Rebbe? Someone that teaches you Gemara, and that goes into that discussion of, or it could be even someone that teaches you one halacha, or Rav Chachmasa, or if it's even Chumash, or Mishnayis, or Gemara. Now, the Brisa concludes, however, Ula Olam have a Ratz LaMishnah. However, a person should always run to Mishnayis, Yesim in the Gemara, more than he runs to learn Gemara. Which so the Gemara asks, Hagufa Kasha. That is what's called an internal contradiction. You're contradicting yourself. Amrit, first the Braisa said, Begemara in Lochamida Gedel Mizu, that there's no greater measurement, there's nothing greater than learning the Gemara. Vahada Amrit, and then you say, Lo'ilam Havarats Lemishnah Yisim the Gemara, that person should always run to Mishnayis more than they should run to Gemara. Now, how do you understand? If Gemara is the greatest, why are you going running to Mishnayis more than Gemara? So Amrit Rechen Rechen tells us, and we continue on Tamad Beis, that Bimei Rebbe Nishnish Mishnah Zu. That in the days of Rebbe was when this Mishnah was learned that said that Gemara in lachamida gedal mezu. There's no greater measurement than learning Gemara, and that is as Rashi explains. And that is because since from the days of the students of Shamen Hill, which were a few generations before Reb Yehuda Nasi, there was a lot of machloikas, arguments in Torah, and it almost became like the Torah was two different Torahs. You had the school of Bishama, you had the school of Bishil, and each were saying different halachas. And as Rashi explains, how did that happen? We have a Messiah. The reason is because of the Shibud Malchis, the decrees and the tortures and the persecutions that the Jewish people had and all the Gzeris. And because of that, they barely had a moment to even learn. And yet in spite of that, it's unbelievable the halachas and the Messiah that they were able to maintain, because what were the Machlegas already? Which was almost nothing of a percentile of all the halachas that we have in the Torah. However, they were becoming a lot of Machlegas, and therefore they weren't able to come to the clarity of what the halacha was supposed to be, until the days of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the grace of Rabbi Yehuda in the eyes of Antoninus, who was the king of the Roman Empire in those days, as the Gemara Masechet Avodah Zarah and the Yerim and Beis explains, and therefore they were able to rest from their tsaris, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi went and he gathered all the Talmudic sages from Eretz Yisrael. And that's because until the days of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, there were no organized mesechtes the way we have it. Rather, every student who would hear something from some Talmudic sage, Talmud Chacham that was greater than him, he would remember and he would give different mnemonics, different reminders for himself to say, okay, this halacha I learned from that Talmud Chacham. Now, when they all gathered, they all said what they had heard. And they went and put their minds and their hearts into understanding the explanation of the reasons of the different opinions that were being mentioned, whose opinion was preferable to continue. And based on that is when they organized the Masechtas. You had Masechtas of Nezikin themselves, which is the Babas, Baba Kam, Baba Matziah, Baba Basra. You had the words of Masechtas Yivamis that were separated. You had the words of Masechtas Kachim that were separated. This was never like that. Everyone would just learn everything together. Now, when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi made an anonymous Mishnah, this is what we mentioned in Amud Aleph, even though they were words of individuals, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi did it on purpose because he wanted it to be said as an anonymous opinion, because he held that was the prevailing halacha, and that's why he quoted in that way. And that is why, that's what the Gemara is saying now, that when they said, B'Gemara, Ein Lacha Midah Gedel Mezu, because he wanted that people, Mishnayis, everyone knew, but no one knew what was the proper halacha. So he said, there's no greater measurement than learning Gemara. Try to understand, because this is what we're doing in this generation. We want to understand what is the clarity of the halacha. There's these two contradictory Mishnayis, and that we know, because these two students came along, he said this, we want to understand. Which one is the right one? Is there a way to resolve, to synthesize the two of them? Maybe this is that one opinion that we know of, and that's the other opinion. However, but then the problem became, Shavku Kuli Yama Masnitin. So everybody, all the time in the Chum, everyone left learning Mishnayis, and they stopped reviewing on their Mishnayis, but Oslo Basi Gemara, and they went to learn Gemara, because they wanted to think, you know what is Pshat in that? And they would think and think and think for days and days. Now, problem is, now they're forgetting their Mishnayis. So Hadur Darish Lu, so therefore he went and he darshaned for them. La'ilam Havaratz LaMishnah Yesim LeGemara. Then he says, wait a second. A person should always run first to review and learn his Mishnayis and to learn Gemara, because he was afraid that maybe the Mishnayis are going to be forgotten. What's going to happen is people are going to start mixing up the names of the different Chachamim. And instead of saying Chayiv, they're going to say Pater. Instead of saying Asr, they're going to say Heter, because they're forgetting already, and that's what happens. A person could be learning Gemara itself, and they're so busy learning the Rishayim and the Achrayim, you could forget what you're even learning. You have to remember the foundation. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said, always run to Mishnayis and then to Gemara. Yes, he wanted everyone to learn Gemara, but first Mishnayis, because you have to first know what you're actually talking about, and to remember the text of what then to go ahead and compare the names, and what is Asr, and what is Mutar. Now the Gemara asks, my Darish, what was originally the Drasha that was said, which was in the days of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that they said that there's nothing greater than Gemara? Where do you see this concept? Yes, they then later said the first run to Mishnayis more than Gemara because people were going to forget. They were afraid that people were going to forget the Mishnayis in the actual text. But where do they see originally to say that the Gemara is greater? That's Kedidar Shav Yehuda B'Rabbi Loi. That Ma'idach Siv, he says, what is this that it means when it says a pasuk in Yeshaya, Hagid La'ami Pisham, tell my people regarding their willful sins, things they do on purpose, Ulebis Yaakov Chataisim, and to the house of Jacob, a reference to Klal Yisrael regarding their inadvertent sins. So on that, he explained as follows. Hagid la'ami pisham, tell my people, which is a reference to those who are close to Hashem, regarding their willful sins. Ilu tamid hacham, that's a reference to tamid hacham, they're considered Hashem's am. Now, on that we see that we're considering chataisam as pisham. We're considering their inadvertent sins, because that's the term we see at the end of the pasuk, as pisham, as willful sins. Why is that? Sheshkogis nasil lahem kizdainis. Their shkagas, their errors, which are by mistake, are actually considered for them as willful and intentional sins. And the reason is because they should have toiled and understood the reasons behind the Mishnah to clarify what was the main point, not just to pasken halacha out of the Mishnah from a halacha that's not the primary reason of what was said, which essentially what that means is they should have learned Gemara. And that's why their shkaga, their errors become like zdainis. Because although it was an error, but it was an error because they didn't actually put the effort in. On some level, it was a zadin that they didn't put the effort in to go ahead and understand. And that's why they ended up making an error. Whereas Lebes Yaakov, regarding the rest of the Jewish people, chataisam, that even their pshayim, even their willful sins, Hashem is calling them as chataisam, as their errors. Because Elo Amaretz is a reference to the ignorant people, Shizdoinis Naslam Kishkogis, that their willful sins become like errors, again, because they don't really even know better. Behind the Ditnan, this is what it says in the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. The Rebbe Huda says, Hebizahar B'Talmud, be very careful in learning the Talmud, which is a reference to the Gemara, which is, as we said, that's the resolution of the different reasons of the Mishnais. Or if you hear one thing from your Rebbe, you have to be very careful to ask him the reason, who taught this, why is that? Why do you have to be so careful? Shashigris Talmud, because a mistake, an error in learning Gemara, if you make a mistake in your Hayra, in your teachings, from the mistake you make in learning the Gemara, that you didn't know the reason of the Mishnah, and you gave a different reason, and because of that, you compare a different halacha, or a different din that comes to you, and you're going to be learning it out improperly, because the reason wasn't as you had thought, as you had assumed. And because had you known the proper reason of the Mishnah, which again is what Gemara is, Gemara explains to you the reasoning and the understanding of the Mishnah, then you would not have compared it erroneously by mistake to this halacha that came to you. And that's why, Oyla Zadon, that's why, although it's an error that you're making, but it's comparative, it's considered as it was done deliberately. And you get punished as if it's a bemezid, because as Rashi says, that is your Zadon, that you didn't ask the reasoning from your Rebbe. So although you're learning Mishnayis, you're learning the Gemara, you have to ask, what is the understanding? You have to understand fully the Gemara. Because if you make an error, it's essentially like a mazid that you didn't get to the depth of the understanding of that. And that's why by Tamina Chachamim, the Pasuk is calling them Pisham, their Shkagas are considered as Dainis. So related to this, the Gemara says, Darsha B'Yehuda B'Riloi, another drasha in the Pasuk in Yeshayah. Ma'idach Siv, what does it mean when it says, Shimu Devar Hashem? Listen to the word of Hashem, Hacharidim al Devari, that tremble to his words. Now the pasuk there continues and says, Amru Acheichem, your brothers say, so in Eichem, your enemies, Minadechem, those that disgust you, that they excommunicate you, Leman Shemi Yichbar Hashem, that because of me Hashem will be honored, V'nirbisim Chasim, we will see in your joy, Behemi Vayishu, and they will be embarrassed. So what is the understanding of this pasuk? So literally it sounds like that the only one that will see the joy of Hashem are the Talmid Chacham, and the brothers and enemies and those that push away the Talmid Chachamim, although they say that because of me Hashem will be honored, it's not true, and they're going to be embarrassed and disgraced when the day will come. Now, but the Gemara asks, so what is the understanding of when it says that those who hear the word of Hashem, who tremble to his words, what does that mean? That's a reference to Il Talmid Chacham. That's a reference to the Talmudic scholars. That is because they serve many different rabbis, many different Talmid Chacham, to learn the understanding of the Mishnayos from them. That this rabbi, they go to learn this. This rabbi, they go to learn this. Because not all Talmid Chacham are proficient in one area of Halacha and Gemara. So that's what it says, that hear the word of Hashem, those who tremble because they want to know. So they go from one rabbi to another rabbi. That's Talmid Chacham. Now, when the pasuk says, Amr Achechem, your brothers say, who's that a reference to? Ela Bala Mikra, that's a reference to those who learn Chumash. Sayin Echem, your enemies, who's that a reference to? Ela Bala Mishnah, that's a reference to those that learn Mishnayis. As Rashi explains, they hate those who learn Gemara. Why? Because the ones who learn Gemara say about those who learn Mishnayis that you are what's called Mavali Olam. You mix up the world. As the Gemara says in Masech Desaita on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, that there are Tanoim that are Mavali Olam because they teach Halacha from the Mishnayis. But without learning Gemara, without understanding that what this Halacha really means and what is the primary principle behind it, you can't teach because you don't know the true understanding. So that's why the Bala Mishnayis hate the Bala Gemara with regard to what the Bala Gemara hold regarding the Bala Mishnayis. Now when it says, Minadechem, those that excommunicate, those that push you away, Talmid Chacham, Elo Am Ha'aretz. That's a reference to the ignorant people, that their Talmid Chacham for them are disgusted and revolting to them, like a nida, like a woman that's menstruating. That's how they consider the Talmid Chacham. Now on that, the Gemara says, Shema Taimar, and maybe you're going to say now, Pasak Sivram Ubatal Sikuyim, that there's no more hope, there's no more logic anymore for these people, for the Bali Mikra, for the Bali Mishnah, for the Amaratzim, because the Pasuk says, as we had quoted, that these people say, Laman Shemi Yichbar Hashem, that because of me Hashem is being honored. Which sounds like that's what they say, but that's not what it is. And Hashem is not getting honored because of them. And therefore, they have all hope lost. It's only Tamid HaChachamim that have the hope. And that is what the Pasuk then says, Tamalaymar, the Pasuk teaches you, Benir Bissim Chaschem, that we will see in their joy. And as Rashi explains, it doesn't say ve'erabisim chaschem, that I will see in their joy. In other words, the prophet, the Navi, is saying, me and your brothers and your enemies and those that excommunicate you, we all of us, that's what it says in the plural, ve'nira, we will see bisim chaschem in your joy, tamid chachamim. And that is, although they're not the ones that actually learned the Torah, but they're all part of a Klal Yisrael, that they will see in that joy. Now, Shem HaTemim, maybe you're going to say that maybe they'll see in that joy, but Yisrael Yevoishu, but that the rest of the Jewish people that are not Tamid HaChamim, they will be embarrassed. Tamalim, that's supposed to teach you, Behem Yevoishu, and they will be embarrassed. That's a reference to the idol worshippers that are not part of the Jewish people. They're not called on the name Yisrael. That is, Yikachavim Yevoishu, the idol worshippers will be embarrassed and disgraced. Yisrael, Yismocha, however, the Jewish people will rejoice. That's what Benir B'Sim Chaskim, that they all the Bali Mikra, Bali Mishnah, Amaratzim, they all will join in the joy of the Talmid HaChachamim on that day. Hanulach El Metzis, we shall return to you, the second parak in Bab Metzia, parak El Metzis.